Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And no matter what the people say,
it don't matter.
They don't even know.
The Atlanta Rhythm Section, ladies and gentlemen. Great song. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, but you knew that already, didn't you? But I bet what you might not know if you just tuned in is that Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's sitting in for Joan Pride. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and he's one of our favorite folks over at Kiplinger. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim, and good morning, everybody.
It's good to have you here. It's good to have you back, as always. And, Jim, did you know that today is Leap Second Adjustment Day? This is the day when we either go forward a second or back a second, depending on how we need to align the Earth's rotation and the atomic clock. Obviously, the atomic clock is works off of the Earth's rotation. So we have to go forward a second or back a second. We still don't know which one. I'm absolutely in a state of flux here, not knowing whether I'm supposed to go forward a second or back a second.
What will we do?
Which was bad enough. Uncertainty was bad enough until I found out that I'm waiting on the instructions from Paris, from France. That really threw me into a tailspin, Jim.
We're gonna have to wait a lot longer, I'm sure.
I'm afraid so. Maybe Jacques Chirac will release that information, probably to everybody but the U.S. Also, Jim, I think we should say happy birthday to Alaska. This is the day in 1958, I remember it well, when Congress passed a law authorizing the admission of Alaska as the 49th state of the Union. How about that?
That's correct, and I recall that too.
Happy birthday, Alaska! Well. All you folks in Alaska, hope you have a great birthday, Jim. The lead story of the letter is about Iraq, and I've never seen the folks at Kiplinger being so negative about what's going on in Iraq before. Well, you guys, this is a little dour report here.
Well, of course, with Kiplinger, today, as we have for more than 80 years, we look into issues, talk to many, many people, and then do our very best to say, this is what we really think the situation is. This is how we believe it will evolve in the next few months and years, and let the chips fall where they may. Regardless of what any of us believe personally about this activity in Iraq, and
well,
it does not look good.
Well, you say that the picture is likely to darken, maybe to get worse instead of better, and you're concerned about some of the ethnical issues over there, aren't you?
Well, we are, and that is because, of course, those have been issues in Iraq for decades and generations.
Well, that's a human condition that
right.
We see all over the globe, isn't it?
That is correct.
Humanity wouldn't be so bad if it weren't for all the humans, Jim.
All the special interest humans.
Yeah.
But that's the world as it is. And, but it said in Iraq in the past, we've seen, various basically warring factions.
Right.
And you might say we did not see that for many years from the late 60s through early part of this decade because we had an absolute tyrant ruling Iraq.
Well, that's because he anybody who stepped out of line, he just killed him. The only thing about this, Jim, I'm gonna take, as I do sometimes, I take
yes.
a little issue with Kiplinger on this. I mean, we've got a constitution that's going to be adopted in October. We've got a permanent election, a permanent government, which is going to be installed in December. I think in 6 months we'll know whether you're correct or whether what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing with the folks that I'm talking to in Iraq, notwithstanding all of the insurgency problems they've got over there, which they do have. But the people I'm talking to, we're talking to people on the ground in Iraq. We're trying to get one of our friends back on for the 4th of July right now. June Reed, who's over there helping to develop that country. And what they're telling us is that the economy is growing, that people are starting businesses, and of course, as you know, the the Sunnis, who were originally chose not to participate in the government's development, have now been asked to join, and they've been allowed to join. So isn't that a hopeful situation?
It is hopeful. It is very hopeful. The concern that many people have is that we are seeing more, frankly, terrorists descend in on Iraq, even from far outside Iraq, and they're in now particularly stepping up activities in the south, and doing suicide bombing activities.
It's been ugly the last few months, no question about that.
Against civilians, and the concern is basically that it certainly will take a long-term and sustained and significant military presence to finally root out and do away with these people. And the question is, can the Iraqis do it for themselves? And that requires not only a lot of training, but a lot of military equipment, for instance, a lot of expertise in handling very sophisticated military equipment, like Black Hawk helicopters. So the point is, we're saying here, it's not as if this is going to fall apart tomorrow, but that it will take a U.S. presence for a while.
Well,
the president has said, we will not quit.
Aren't we still in the Balkans? I mean, what's the difference? What's the difference in these insurgents killing Iraqis? I mean, it's not just Americans who are being harmed. Iraqis are being targeted. In the early days, Iraqis were sort of they were collateral damage. If they were hurt or killed, they were collateral damage of the war and the occupation. But now they're being targeted by these insurgents. And what's the difference in that? In those people trying to kill the native folks in Iraq, and what's the difference in that and what was going on in the Balkans 10 years ago?
In the Balkans, I mean, certainly there was largely ethnic cleansing, led and sanctioned by a government, which eventually was toppled. But I guess the point, today, I said that is the big concern about the terrorists attacking and killing civilians,
right,
women and children, for no other reason than they want to sow fear. But the difference is that these insurgents right now, and these terrorists, keep on coming, and more are coming, particularly from Iran and elsewhere.
What I don't understand, Jim, is why other countries, more countries, aren't stepping up and saying, you know what, regardless of what the United States did or the coalition forces did, all this stuff is going on in Iraq right now, this is wrong, and we want to participate in stopping it. Why aren't more countries doing that? And I think they're going to regret not participating in it. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and visiting with our good friend Jim Ostroff, who's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Jim, one couple of last things on this Iraqi issue. There was a report, I think, in the Wall Street Journal this week about a gentleman from one of the European countries. I think he may have been from France. I'm not sure. Who was a hostage? He became a hostage, and he was kept for 60 or 80 days. He was made to witness assassinations, atrocities, murders, and he wound up being released. And he thought that he was surprised when he was captured. Oh, that's right. He was French. He was surprised when he was captured because he said, "Why did they capture me? I'm from France. We oppose this war." And then he realized while he was being captured, this isn't about them versus the U.S. This is about them versus modern civilization versus the West, of which France is clearly part of. And they didn't differentiate with him between them and the others.
No, and they didn't.
And he understood. He then understood that this isn't the Islamic militants, the murderers over there, against just the U.S. And which brings me to this point that I think a lot of people need to think about. Just because George Bush is for something, that doesn't mean that it's always wrong. And the Iraqi people deserve a chance now to start their own government, to build their economy, which they are doing, by the way, even if CNN won't report that. I'm reporting it on this show. I'm going to try to do it again on Monday. And just because, I mean, those people deserve to be, to have an opportunity to start their own government and to build their economy. And there's a huge global leadership vacuum right now that needs to be filled by some people who step up and become leaders.
Well, we're at one of these really sort of seminal moments in world history when there were some very stark choices to be made. And you are absolutely correct that a lot of this has nothing to do really with which countries are participating in this or who the leader is, but it just, you know, in many cases, frankly, are we going to live in the 13th or 14th century and who will rule people or will the people rule? And we will see how this turns out. Generally, I'm encouraged. Generally, when people are given a chance to decide their lives, their own fate, they do the right things.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just accept that and say, oh, yeah, they'll always win. It takes a lot of continued vigilance.
Absolutely. Jim, let's change subjects and talk about you've got an interesting little graph here on page one that you call legislative forecast. And this is just a laundry list of the topics that are on the table in Congress right now. The highway bill, the Social Security overhaul, energy, estate tax, tax break extensions, the Patriot Act, pension reform and stem cell research. These are all things that are on the table that people are interested in. That little list hits just about everybody in the country are interested in these things. And let's go down through them and talk about them for a little bit and talk about what Kiplinger thinks is going to happen to them. Let's start with the highway bill. What's going to happen with that?
Eventually, and likely by fall, there will be a new highway bill. And that is really a misnomer. It is a vast and very important bit of legislation that funds construction not only of highways and bridges, but of many key, even little things, interchanges and interconnectors that really permit or impede the flow of traffic and the flow of commerce. And this has been delayed now more than 2 years. During that time, funding has nearly dried up in many places across the U.S. and made it impossible for states to really do the work that's needed. And it's more than just patching roads. It also funds mass transit. And that doesn't just mean trains in Manhattan, but it's just buses for Indianapolis.
Jim, the more you talk about it like that, though, the more it sounds like pork barrel.
Well, there actually that is something that has delayed this a number of times because our members of Congress found this a wonderful vehicle, as they say, to do some Christmas tree work. And they put on that's what they call a Christmas tree, and they put
on.
I bet there's
a swimming pool and a tennis court in this thing here somewhere.
Well, or at least some very special things for some special members of Congress.
Right,
and in fact, last year, basically this, even though it was a year overdue, this hit a roadblock when the president said no, that is far too much, and came out bluntly and said that there were many, many billions of dollars of very special interest projects that were put on this. And that stopped. They went back to the drawing board. This is a bit less. But there is a lot of critical work that needs to be done. We at Kiplinger get calls all the time from state officials and companies within all sorts of construction. They say, and telecommunications even. They say, we can't do anything. We have no guidance, no funding.
Right. Jim, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's with Kiplinger. And we're going to take a quick break and be back right after these messages with more to come. It's 29 after. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Sales celebrating 8 years as radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget, if you're a subscriber to our newsletter, that gives you some advantages because you are an opt-in member of our community, then we're able to make some special discounts available to you from some of our sponsors. And so I hope you'll check that out when you get a chance. And some of them, depending on what you're buying, the discounts could be quite significant. So I hope you'll join the newsletter list, our subscriber list, and don't forget you'll also get the letter that's the main reason to subscribe to our newsletter. And Jim Ostroff is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's with the Kiplinger Editors and associate editor there. And Jim, we're talking about some of the legislative issues that are on the table. Social Security reform is still being discussed, but the collateral damage of that debate looks like it's private accounts, isn't it?
Well, it is, and you know there are many members in Congress, primarily the Democrats, but there are a significant number of Republicans who just say they don't want to go there for various reasons. And no matter what you feel about that, I'd say fact is, and Kiplinger's looked into this, that as it stands now, if the president stands his ground, this will not move. This will not go anywhere.
There actually is a bill, though, and I'm trying to remember who the players are, who the two guys are. It's a bipartisan bill that's being introduced that actually has private accounts in it. There is some life for this. But, I think it's just a case of where you got too many Republicans. Part of the problem right now is that we've got Republicans who don't have the stomach for the blood sport that politics has become.
Well, let's put it this way. There are many members of Congress on both sides of the aisle who hear from the people back home. And, of course, they hear from many lobbyists who, for one reason or another, oppose this. And there are many people who do because they do not really understand it. And
the president hasn't done all that good a job of explaining.
No, I personally and professionally, I don't think he has really. He's made statement after statement and repeated the same platitude that it's your money and it's your ownership.
Which is true. That's not a platitude. That's true.
It is absolutely true, and it's very important. But we feel he needs to use the bully pulpit more to explain
right.
and sell
exactly.
this. And in absence of that, there are many politicians and say, whoa, you know, that can be, once again, that is a third rail for us. And,
right.
Not now. We're not going to touch it. Maybe next year.
Well, the reason the politicians don't want to do it, the true politicians don't want to change this, is because if you take the money that we put in and put it into a private account, that means the money stays in our account, not going into the trust fund. And they can't raid it. And they have been raiding the trust fund now for generations. The government, the politicians have been stealing that money, literally stealing it, because we're not going to get it back. They're taking the money from that plan, and we're not going to get it back because they've given us an IOU, but the only way they can pay it back is if they raise our taxes or lower our benefits. And so I think we need to stop the raiding, as the reformers are talking about. And the private accounts do that. And so that's the reason why these politicians are against the private accounts. Let's move down and talk about the energy bill. Is that going to work?
It's coming down the pike, finally. It only took 4 years. And why now? It's politics. There are many members of Congress who are really feeling the heat this year. As
with $2.26 a gallon average gas, right, we need an energy bill, don't we?
And we need something to be done, and they feel, okay, now, do it, get it done. But, of course, the thing is here, it is politics as well in this, because, among other things, this won't make any difference in what we're paying for gasoline for many years. It's certainly long-range things that will make some difference, but towards the end of the decade and beyond. But we have to start somewhere.
You also say that the estate tax and the tax breaks extensions are probably going to happen, if not this year, by next year. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Patriot Act. I want to find out what Kiplinger has to say about the Patriot Act. Then we're going to move over, and we're going to talk about, I'm going to get Jim to explain to us what a reverse mortgage is. This is something that many of you could be taking advantage of if you don't know about it. 20 till. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassie. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Jim Ostroff is our guest. And many of you who are subscribers to the Kiplinger, all the things that Kiplinger does, when you go on their website, many of the background pieces for the summaries that are in the letter, when you get into their website, you'll see the byline of who wrote those pieces. And many times you'll see Jim Ostroff's name there because he's very active and very big contributor to all the things that Kiplinger does. And Jim, that website is Kiplinger.com, and that's where they can find out how to subscribe to your publications, can't they?
That is correct, yes.
And that includes the main letter, the Kiplinger letter, and that comes out weekly. And then they've got three biweekly letters, California Tax and Agriculture letters. And then you've got a magazine, too, don't you, Jim?
Kiplinger Personal Finance.
Yeah.
Which is a very good magazine, if I must say so. It's month after month, gives people, and particularly people in small business, some very good ideas about their personal financial situation.
And also, that website, Kiplinger.com, there's a lot of free stuff there. You don't have to subscribe to get. But they do have a 30-day free trial if you'd like to try it out. And do you have the phone number? There's a toll-free number somewhere.
Yes, they do. Toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
All right, check that out. Jim, let's move back. One more thing on this list of legislative issues, the Patriot Act. Kiplinger says it's going to be extended, right?
We see it being extended. It is important. It is it is a pillar and a keystone in what the continuing war against terrorism. But the only thing here is that there is concern, as there has been throughout our history here, about protecting private citizens and their rights guaranteed in the Constitution. And there's some concern here, that perhaps in the last few years there has been overly aggressive action part of federal officials in terms of searching people, mm-hmm. organizations, and others. So it basically it will not be gutted, but they're just looking to put in a few more protections and guarantees against unreasonable search.
Well, and this is important fine-tuning, and that needs to happen. But I asked Christopher Shays, Congressman Shays from Connecticut, I asked him one time, he's a member of the Intelligence Committee, and he's a very reasonable guy, a moderate Republican. And I asked him about the Patriot Act, should it be extended? And, of course, I had my own opinion, but he said, absolutely, we must have it. And, of course, Jim, as you know, the Patriot Act is what tore down the wall, non-communication between the CIA
and the FBI,
which I'm convinced led to the attacks of 9/11 not being foiled.
Well, I mean, let's just say short version on that the agencies had information that, if followed, likely would have found many of the murderers, the terrorists.
And that now that the wall is gone, so as they call it, hopefully that's one reason why we haven't had any more attacks. Jim, let's move over in the bottom of page two and talk about reverse mortgages. Completely different topics than what we've been talking about. What is a reverse mortgage, and why do we need to know about it?
Okay, reverse mortgage is basically an agreement, an understanding that you as a homeowner or as a business person who has a mortgage, but primarily makes with your lender. It could be a bank or a mortgage company, where in essence you basically say, look, I have a mortgage. I will continue to live here, but I will pay I will make no monthly payments. Instead, I authorize you to draw down the equity in my home, so that if it's worth $200,000 right now, over some period of time, the value actually decreases because the lender
The owner's equity decreases.
Decreases because the lender assumes that, takes that. And this is particularly...
And makes a payment to the owner.
That's correct. Right.
So, folks, this is money. This is not you paying the bank.
The bank pays
for the mortgage. This is the bank paying you for assuming equity in the home.
That is correct. And, of course, on the other side, it means come the time where you want to sell or have to sell or settling in a state, the value of that home is less or nothing at some point, perhaps.
For the owner.
The
value
the
is still there, but the owner, the equity is still eroded.
That is correct. But, of course, it is becoming popular because for many people they just say, well, look, you know, it's a matter of my life and my lifestyle and being able to live in a lifestyle which I'm accustomed while I'm here. And
typically, isn't a reverse mortgage something that people in the last years of their life, isn't this something that they typically would use?
Many do, but it is becoming more popular now. Because I mean, there are more people living longer, and so more people who are older. But even those, and they could be certainly in their 50s, 60s, and beyond, are just looking at this and saying,
"But you got to have equity. You got to have enough equity to make it feasible." But what I was thinking of, Jim, are people who maybe, you know, they've outlived their pension or their savings. You know, and that's happening these days. And so they've got the equity in their home. They don't want to move out of their home. They don't want to have to sell their home to get the cash to be able to live or to have some help brought in so they can live in their own home. So they take a reverse mortgage out. The government, the bank pays them a payment, and they're able to use that money to live on and to pay for help.
That is correct. That is correct.
So it's a great tool, and I encourage you to check into it, folks. Not all banks do this. So you're going to have to look around a little bit. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Hillary. Is she going to run in 2008 or not? Well, you can count on it. Tint Hill, stay with us.
Down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there's still the log cabin.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. By the way, don't forget, on the 4th of July, I will be here live and in person, as I always have been. This is our 8th. This will be our 8th, God willing. 8th, count them 8. 4th of July, live on the radio. And so we'll have some fun. I'm looking forward to that. Got some great guests lined up for you. And as I said earlier, we're working on trying to get somebody on from Iraq, June Reed, who's one of our reporters over there, one of the folks over there helping them to build their economy in Iraq. That's one of the things we're working on for 4th of July. Jim Ostroff is our guest. Jim, about a year and a half ago, I was in Florida, and I heard a speech by Hillary Clinton. She spoke to 1,100 women. There were 1,100 women in that room and me. I was the token guy. I legitimized the whole thing. And so I have never seen anybody seduce a crowd like she did. She was Aunt B. If I've ever seen anybody be Aunt B up there on the stage, you just could. There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing objectionable about her. No matter who you are, you know, you always knew that Hillary Clinton, you know, if you like her, if you didn't like her, if you she was smart, whatever you thought about her, there was always a little bit of an edge about her. She has no edges today. If she doesn't want to, she has morphed into a moderate. She has morphed into almost a military hawk. And when I heard her speak at that time, I made a prediction. I said, the Republicans will have a female on the ticket, somewhere on the ticket in 2008, because this woman is running. She's probably going to get the nomination, and that'll make the Republicans have to correspond to respond. What do you think, Jim?
Correct. As we say here, and it is because it is true, that even Newt Gingrich, you know, has warned many Republicans, do not underestimate Hillary.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, you may say, oh, she carries baggage, but people have very short memories, frankly, in the electorate.
Right.
And, she is very good generally on the stump and on television, and that's what counts today. People doing opposition research will point to something she said here or there in the 90s, or her actions to try to give us Hillary care in the early 90s.
Right.
And she could say, that was then, this is now, we're talking about tomorrow, folks, so what will we do? She's a good politician, and as all good politicians...
Well, she's not only an excellent politician, she's married to the best politician the history of the world has ever seen.
Well, at least a recent history, and she's learned.
She's married to the best political advisor in the world, probably.
He's very, very good, and they do make a good political team. If nothing else, I'm saying here, there are no other real leading stars right now who would be likely to seek to pull the ring.
Well, think about this. Think about on both sides of the aisle. Who is more visible? Who is more? Who's the stronger candidate? There's only one Republican and Democrat that's a strong candidate in terms of visibility, in terms of name recognition, in terms of lots of things. The position that she holds as a senator of New York, she is not only going to be a candidate, she's going to be a formidable candidate. And the Republicans better get their cornflakes together, because she's going to be a force to reckon with. Jim, let's move down and talk about the wireless. This is a totally different topic on the technology side. You guys say that wireless email is going to be as ubiquitous as cell phones. Tell us about that.
That's right, and basically various cell phones. Companies throughout the U.S. are very soon going to start offering, I might say, enhanced email on enhanced phones, even with larger screens. And
I own a BlackBerry.
Right. Well, and
it's
the
very
idea
handy.
Here, right? It is, and the idea here is to make the BlackBerry about as relevant as a little chalkboard.
Right.
The idea is everybody carries, nowadays, almost everyone, it seems, carries a cell phone, and most of them use them in their cars, but that you will be able to get your emails on even a slightly larger screen just
right.
with this one device.
I can do all those things. I can even surf the Internet if I want to.
That's right.
But it's pretty clunky, so I don't really want to. But
right.
this is, you're right. I mean, more and more, and it's not just BlackBerries. There are other devices out there that offer the same kind of capability.
Well, there are, but that's part of, I got to say briefly, a very larger trend here of wireless,
right.
which within a few years will enable people just to go and surf the web from anywhere at any time without any wire.
I predicted 5 years ago that wireless was going to be one of the next killer apps, and it turns out I may be right. Thank you, Jim, for being here. Good job today.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.